Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. The show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying good to one another. Hopefully you got your shot. I got mine. You'll get yours. Hopefully you'll get yours. And hopefully you got to watch some good films, some fine films that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. So a little change in the program this week, because we'll do Grab a Pencil on next week's show, although I do want to get to stuff that was on last week's post, just so I can not have to deal with it. So, all right, a brief Grab a Pencil. But let's see. We start with Marshall, who says, great independent film called Body Brokers. Jose writes, Water Walker. Rachel writes, Lilo and Stitch, Something Borrowed and School of Rock. James writes, Lisa and the Devil and Just Before Dawn. Barry writes, St. Maud, deemed it excellent. Jan writes, did I tell you about First Cow already? If not, it's a must. As well as always, rarely, sometimes, never. And then I informed her both were on my top 10 that year. Lila writes, Lazy Susan and Mank. Todd writes, I watched the original Walking Tall at 2 in the morning last night. Hadn't seen it since I was a kid in the 70s. Some editing would have helped, but it was fun to watch. Ken writes, Zack Snyder's Justice League and deemed it excellent. Ben writes, Young Frankenstein and the documentary Zappa. Kirk writes, Greyhound, Miracle, and Traitor. Keith writes, Never Grow Old. Charity writes, The Snyder Cut. And Debbie writes, The Burb. So that's just how Facebook happens sometimes. So changing the format, because this weekend, my father, Dr. John Soci, yes, he's a retired surgeon, turns 80 years old. And I owe a great deal to my father, obviously. But part of the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there wouldn't be a film show, really, if it weren't for my dad's early influences with me and cinema. And I'd like to share a few of those with you tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this. I've told these stories in the past, and I just wanted to accumulate them into one little bundle here. What I appreciate is he opened up my eyes to a whole different world of cinema that I didn't think I would expect. I didn't know what was going to happen. The first big cinematic marvel I remember was going to see Jaws when it opened in 1975. I'm 5 years old. We saw it on Long Beach Island, New Jersey, which was where our family summer home was. My grandfather walked out. Film scared the hell out of me. I'm five, you know, but I had parental guidance, so that was suggested. And my grandfather, who I thought was the old man in the sea, walked out of the film. And just truly terrifying. So seeing it at a beach on an island was quite the thing. And then the next day, my father, my dad, the doctor, the one who, you know, whose career was taking care of people, lifted me over his head, hummed two notes, and started marching toward the water. Scared the hell out of me. I lost it. So, and then that same week, we went out fishing, and some of my father's, my grandfather and some of their friends came fishing with us, and I accidentally caught a baby shark, and also scared the hell out of me. Until one of my grandfather's friends took the baby shark. He had already had a few beers in the sun and bit its nose off, spat it into the sea, and then threw the shark back into the water. So thanks, my hero. Anyway, but yeah, I was stunned that a piece of film had that big of an impact on me. This was not the cartoon fodder your normal 4 to 5 year old would be watching. And I wound up watching stuff with my dad around the house. He was really good about talking me through stuff, even if I didn't understand. Like, you know, why doesn't Rick get on the plane at the end of Casablanca? And why does Sonny have to die in The Godfather? Again, parental guidance. I'm fine. Look, you have a show. I got to see Halloween in the theater with my father and my brother. My brother's 6 years older than me. And also, I was 8, so scared the hell out of me. A lot of watching it through my fingers. And what I don't remember happening in Jaws, although it could have, but I was very spooked. But in Halloween, even though I was watching through my fingers, I could hear a lot of screaming and I could hear a lot of laughter. And that really, really confused my 8-year-old noggin of why are people – and I get it that, you know, our old longtime producer emeritus alumni, Kobe Slagle, was not a fan of the idea of being scared for fun. That's just not his bag. And I get that. That was the first time I had experienced that, hearing that from others. So and gone on to other things. So – I did see the, you know, standard children's fair and cartoon fair in the 1970s, although Disney was kind of in a weird period. At least there was the Charles Schulz and, you know, the Peanuts, the Charlie Brown films that were slightly better, doing better than what Disney was doing at that time. Well, it was a long stretch between Robin Hood and really Fox and the Hound. But I also, my father took me to a lot of screenings on college campuses at U of M Flint, at Mott Community College. I grew up in Flint, Michigan. And I remember him taking me to see films like King of Hearts and with Alan Bates and Jean-Vive Bougeot. And I saw my first Marx Brothers movie. I think I saw Horse Feathers and Animal Crackers at a college screening. And this was a big deal. I mean, it was a great opportunity for you young folks out there. You know, unless it played on TV, you didn't see it. So, unless you go to a revival house or you go to a college campus like this. This was a huge deal. And so those were really fun. I remember going to New York and seeing a Chaplin film when my dad was doing residency over there for a while. And so anyway, I started to develop a little bit of a superiority complex because I was seeing films that were geared toward grown-ups, and I was starting to get at least somewhat of an understanding of this. I remember being at the multiplex. We had one, the Showcase Cinema, which started out as 6. I forget what it wound up being. And a classmate of mine was there to see Time Bandits, and a teacher was also there and wondered what we were seeing. And my friend Jim said, Time Bandits. I was with my dad seeing The French Lieutenant's Woman. I was 11. So anyway, I'm sure that was a bit of pop culture debaggery because I was seeing these grown-up movies. Also, the fact that Siskel and Ebert were on PBS with sneak previews. I first discovered sneak previews in 1979, I believe. I believe, if I still remember correctly, Rocky II and More American Graffiti were on that particular episode, the first episode I watched. And I was stunned that there were grown-ups talking about movies on TV. And then I never missed it on Thursday night. And then when they left PBS, I still never missed them. And that led to being able to go down to there was an art house theater in the Detroit suburbs. In fact, it's still there. It's been revived, called The Maple. And because we would get some art house movies in Flint, not a whole lot. I do remember Siskel and Ebert raving about Akira Kurosawa's Kagemusha. And it was actually playing at our 2-screener in Grand Blanc. And I really, really wanted to go see it. And I saw it with my dad, who had a very long day at the hospital and fell asleep while the film was going on. But I was not getting everything, but I was really caught up in it. It was very, very cool. But anyway, in the early 80s, going down to the Maple, you know, Gene and Roger would praise it, and then we'd find out it's at the Maple. So often we would do like a Sunday trip. I got to see Diner at the Maple. I saw Montenegro. Hello, Susan Ansbach. That's where I saw Tender Mercies, if I remember correctly. And My Dinner with Andre, because Siskel and Ebert raved about it. In fact, one, if I remember the best films of the year, one had it at number one, the other had it at number two. And we went. I was 11, and, you know, for those who don't know, it's a two-hour dinner conversation between Andre Gregory and Wallace Shawn, directed by Louis Malle. And walking out of the theater with my father loved it, and as I was kind of stunned. And my dad said, "Why?" And he goes, did you hate it? And I said, "No, I didn't hate it. I was just stunned that they made it. I didn't know that you could make a film like that." So, and I've given Dad My Dinner with Andre as a gift already. So that's fun. But anyway, this was the idea of, I guess, parental guidance. So being able to watch this stuff with my dad, and he was very patient with me asking questions, which I always tried to wait until the end of the film. You know, didn't want to bother anybody else in the theater. But those were great trips. So I think that might have been, so between growing up an hour north of Detroit and driving to Detroit for baseball games and movies, and then as I got older, concerts, I got used to driving. So commuting is not an issue for me, says the guy who commutes whenever he comes in the town. Anyway, and by the time I reached my teen years, I was off on my own as far as finding stuff and seeing stuff. And, you know, you go see films with your knucklehead friends. And my mother did not like watching films with us, especially comedies, because my father and I laugh. And once I got into theater, I tried to explain to my mother that when there's a big moment, that generally there is a throwaway line right after a big moment in a film or a TV show, and I couldn't persuade her into that. We were just too loud. We were loud laughers. Soci men have loud laughs, are great storytellers. That includes my uncle and my grandfather, and curly hair. So, you know, got that going for me. and so stuff that he showed me, I still watch today. Yes, my dad turned me on to Woody Allen because single straight male kid in the 70s, that's what you do. And also Monty Python. So I learned a love of, you know, those guys, of being equally smart and equally silly. And that was a huge thing. In fact, we were the first ones in our neighborhood to get a VCR, and we had the very expensive, very heavy, top-loading Betamax. Who knew? And by the way, Betamax was right all along, so take that. But my father got one, and the very first videotape he ever purchased was Harold and Maude, and that was my introduction to dark comedy. I think right after that was Dr. Strangelove, and then Patty Chayefsky's The Hospital, which is still a favorite of my father's, obviously. So yeah, dark comedy, and so the Marx Brothers, Woody Allen, Monty Python. You can thank/blame my father. And by the time I was in college, there was a slight shift, and I always remembered going home, and I was really, really excited about the film My Left Foot. I was a freshman in college, I think, when that film came out, and it was actually playing in Flint. I don't think, believe it was playing in Muncie at the time. And you heard about great, you know, the great Daniel Day-Lewis performance, and for a lot of people, this was their first introduction to Daniel Day-Lewis, especially if they'd never seen My Beautiful Laundrette or A Room of the View. And I asked my dad if he wanted to go. I was really excited being home, and he finally told me, and this is 1989, that, "Son, I've been at the hospital all day, and I can't sit down and watch something like that, yeah, now." So I guess it's like the chef coming home to cook, but I get it. I understood it. Fortunately, I did get it at that time. But on the flip side of that, He loved watching the action films, Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal, Charles Bronson, Burt Reynolds, Clint Eastwood. And I think part of it, especially the real martial art, the martial art films, which I also got to watch with him, was these were broken bones that he did not have to take care of, or not get called into the emergency room for whatever reason. We had a theater in, one would say it was a grindhouse theater in downtown Flint called the Capitol Theater. It's now a music venue. But that's where you got to see Kung Fu, Blaxploitation, Italian Horror. It's a Quentin Tarantino dream. And we got to see a bunch of films there when I was in my younger days. So all of that is movie time with my dad. And funny that near the end of my mother's life, she died when I was in college. And mom, when I was in college, got into a movie watching spree. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know where, but she would rent 5 movies a day and almost kind of plow through them in a couple of days. My father had the weird talent of showing up at home from work 5 minutes before the film ended. And my father coming home wants to talk to his wife, wants to know how her day was, maybe wants to tell her how his day was. And my mother is shushing him because it's the final 5 minutes of the film. We'll talk after this. So that helped kind of balance out the my mom kind of crabby about us being loud at movies. And we had different tastes. I remember, like, I would go see Coal Miner's Daughter with my mother, and then I'd see Raging Bull with my father. And near the end of her life, she loved Driving Miss Daisy, Steel Magnolias, and Terms of Endearment. And for a long time, I couldn't watch those films after my mother's death. So, but yeah, a lot of this, this long running program here at WFYI Film Sociology, its roots, its seeds were planted because of Dr. John Soucy, who turns 80 years old this weekend. I love you, Pop. Thank you for everything. Seriously. So with that in mind, I bring this up to remind you, of course, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Finding out the Maple Theater in Bloomfield Hills is still open. It is described in cinematreasures.org. This bland, undistinguished triplex was originally opened as the Maple 123 on March 23, 1977 by Suburban Detroit Theaters. It was acquired by AMC. The cup holders still have the AMC logo on them. In 1992, and by Landmark Theaters in 1998. In the summer of 2012, it was taken over by an independent operator. So that's really cool that that is still around. So the Maple Theater, that's ER.com. So there's a shameless plug for them. Okay. So this week, instead of grabbing a pencil, even though I did last week's page, again, the weird thing about Facebook is I post a request at a certain time, usually Thursday morning. I will ask for your list, as you know, and for those who don't know, that's when I ask. And then I'll come in Friday and record. Well, sometimes people post it because it's late or they didn't get to it, or it's just, whatever the gremlins of Facebook are going to show other people when my posts happen. So that's just what they do. So I wound up having to go back to the previous week's listing at the very, very end to see who was quote unquote late and then go through the current list. So that's kind of what I did at the beginning with the grab a pencil medley, a quickie there. So, all right. So for this week, I asked you on social media, what films do you remember watching with your father or mother or grandparents, that were an impression on you? I think I put it in the way of saying stuff that makes you, that would make people go, that explains a lot. My darling family, Lynn and Emma, are two of the most patient ladies on the planet because they put up with my movie habits and making my lovely wife go see a bunch of ridiculous stuff when we were dating, when we were courting, as I like to put it. She had never seen blaxploitation or kung fu or Hammer horror, and I made her watch all of those. And there was the great moment of we were after we got married, and I was channel surfing one night, and I got really excited because Foxy Brown was on. And I said, honey, Foxy Brown's on. And Lynn kind of peeked in through the room and said, do I really need to watch this? And I fortunately had the wherewithal to say and realize, no, I guess not. So anyway, love you both. Okay, let's go to Twitter and let's find out what you were watching with your family when you were little. So we start on Twitter with Claytone, I guess. I remember my dad showing me Apocalypse Now, yeah, Platoon, and A Fistful of Dollars. Great films. Yeah, Dad, Pop was also a fan of Clint Eastwood and all of the Westerns, not just the spaghetti ones. We had a cottage up in Roscommon, Michigan. We're not that bougie, really. But up in Roscommon, Michigan, Higgins Lake, there was a Strand Theater. And I remember my first Clint Eastwood theater movie experience in a theater was up there when we saw The Outlaw Josey Wales. And not a bad way to start. So, and then I was stunned that there were other theaters in other towns called The Strand. I just didn't think that way. Brandon Smith, WFYI's own Brandon Smith. My mom introduced me to Singin' in the Rain, and I loved it so much I asked to go as Gene Kelly's character for Halloween when I was little. Oh, that's cool, Brandon. Thank you for sharing. I loved Columbo. I went as Columbo, and folks thought I was doing Groucho Marx without the mustache at times. So nobody got it. None of the kids got my costume, but a few parents did. Anyway. Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it on Twitter. We go to Facebook and find out what you watched with your parents. Steven. All right. Steven writes, the two my father would consistently insist we watch whenever they were shown on TV were Duel in the Sun and Captain from Castile. I'm shocked I turned out as semi-normal as I did. You're fine, my lord. And I'll put it in. He goes, in other news, John, for some unknown reason, decided we should watch Nicholas Ray's They Live by Night a couple days ago. As far as I could make out, the film was mostly about Farley Granger's lips, which I said sounds like a documentary or a name of a garage band. So thank you, Steven. Jared writes, Big Jake. Joe writes, Cleopatra with Liz Taylor's naked backside when I was 13. How the West Was Won enhanced my love for history. Nikki says she'll try to have she had a good one for this week. She'll try to remember next week. My mom wasn't a big movie watcher that I recall. I do remember hounding her to let me watch Carrie when I was about 9 or 10. She finally gave in and I was terrified, but loved it. I started reading her Stephen King books a couple years later. I'll tell the story because I wrote it up here. There was the remake of Carrie with Julianne Moore, which is actually a better film than you think. And we had seen trailers for it. Emma was about 12, and she was intrigued with the film, although, of course, I would insist that she watch the original, the Brian De Palma version with Sissy Spacek. And she's 12, and I told her about the opening scene when Carrie has when womanhood comes a calling, and my daughter decided, and how, you know, terribly she's treated by not only the other girls in school but by her mother about all this, and Emma decided to wait a little longer before experiencing that film, but she eventually did and she liked it. So there is that. I never got to go to a midnight movie with my dad. My brother talked him into taking him to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I think my dad was one and done with midnight movies there. So anyway, thanks, Nikki. Hope you remember next week's titles. Teresa writes, oh, my goodness, Blazing Saddles and Animal House. Also, my dad hated Chevy Chase and refused to watch anything with him in it. Well, you just didn't have the time. You didn't have to work with Chase, so I guess there's that. We enjoyed Blazing Saddles and Animal House as we were kids. Even Caddyshack. Eric writes, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Wow. I should say my first movie my mom took me to was Old Yeller. My dad wasn't a big movie person. He preferred to read. Okay, yeah, there is that. I would say, and somebody, what was it? Somebody said they got to see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at a drive-in, at the Shadeland Drive-In. Eric writes this. I'm like, wow. I've had a running joke about having an arts bar as well as an art house drive-in movie theater. Abdul Kim Shabazz and I have joked about this for years, and it sounded like that. So I'll have to keep working on that or work on my French script. All right, back to the list. Andy writes Clue, Disney's Robin Hood, and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Carrie writes, war movies and John Wayne movies. It was our thing. Even the last good day we had together was watching a war movie. By far, my favorite of all of them is A Bridge Too Far. That's the one that has half the Screen Actors Guild in it. David writes, The Wizard of Oz, Ben-Hur, and any Western that came on. Understood. Even The Outlaw. Adrian writes, his favorites were Manon on the Springs, The Boy with Green Hair, and The Red Balloon. I love them because he did, but now I'm thinking about the life lessons each of them had to teach me. Thanks, Matt, and happy birthday, Dad Sosie. Thank you, Adrian. Thomas writes, Young Frankenstein, the Bond series. My mom also showed my sister and I only the first half of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, so I had no idea who the child catcher was when they brought out the stage version. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, got to see Young Frankenstein in the theater as well. And my first Bond film in the theater, I was with Dad, was The Spy Who Loved Me, which is pretty good. And, you know, way to go, Barbara Bach, and way to go, Ringo Starr. Michelle writes, every year I look forward to the one time that The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz aired. Each Sunday I grab the weekly TV guide insert from the newspaper to see if they'd be shown. Because back then, if you missed a movie, you'd have to wait an entire year for a replay. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So watching these movies with my mother and sister are cherished memories. Yeah, the one of the first things I recorded off television and kept it for a long, long time was when our local PBS station showed Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And, I was 6, 7 maybe. And, I watched it a lot, even with the pledge break halfway through. Terry also chimes in with Michelle. Yes, indeed. The annual TV airing of The Wizard of Oz was a big event in our household while I was still growing up. Can't really say about The Sound of Music as I didn't appreciate it properly as a kid. Well, that's where, you know, the movie doesn't change. You change. So Megan writes Harold and Maude and all the Mel Brooks movies. Thank you, Megan. You are love. David writes Jason and the Argonauts with Dad. Molly writes Being There. I love Being There. And I was so happy I got to show Being There to Emma last year? Yeah. Chris Lloyd, our very own Film Yap of Chris Lloyd. And yes, go to the Film Yap, to filmyap.com and all the other IFJA sponsored pages and websites and podcasts and things. My dad took me to see Excalibur when I was 10. I said I was 11, and that was my introduction to Helen Mirren. So, within the first 10 minutes, Uther made love to a woman while wearing full plate armor. I could feel my pop squirming in the next seat. Oh, that's okay. The same time I was 11, around the time I was 11, I also saw Body Heat with my dad. That had an effect. So much so that when Lynn and I were in London for our honeymoon, one of the productions happening in London was The Graduate with Kathleen Turner as Mrs. Robinson. And Lynn knew this story and asked me did I want to go see The Graduate. And I said, no, not on my honeymoon with my wife. Sorry. Sharon, back to the list. All right. I know I'm doing a lot of asides because it's reminding me all these memories that come up. Sharon writes, watching The Sound of Music with my mom and dad taking us to the theater to see Disney animal/wildlife movies. Yeah. I don't remember who took me to Snow White, but this was back then, like every 7 years, Disney would put out a movie in the theaters for a couple of weeks and then back to the vault it goes. We had was it the Flint Cinema on Dort High? Oh, no, the Dort Cinema. But we had one place that had a giant screen. That's where we got to see the first Rocky, Star Wars, the first Raiders. I saw Reds on this. I mean, huge screen, and it was great for those epic films. Also, Death on the Nile. Dad liked Peter Ustinov as Hercule Poirot, as do I. Kane writes Wizard of Oz, Moses, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Sound of Music every year. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, and every year, Muncie Chevy at the Rivoli Theater for Christmas, we saw a movie, and then the animated Hobbit, and of course, Star Wars. Thank you, Kane. Don writes Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, all the Abbott and Costello movies, all the Bowery Boy movies, Three Stooges short films, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Wizard of Oz. Christy writes Hoosiers, of course. My dad and I can recite the entire film. That's kind of a regular event down here in Indiana. Tom writes Sweet Charity, Oliver, Young Frankenstein, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, musicals and comedies. Corey writes Little Miss Sunshine, Landline, Nancy, and Extraordinary, which is probably my favorite. Joe writes Break Into Electric Boogaloo. All right, now you're just being silly. And you are too, Joshua, so there you go. Lisa writes With My Parents, The Wizard of Oz, Gaslight, The Incredible Shrinking Man, Bridge Over the River Kwai, and 12 Angry Men are the ones that come to mind at the moment. I remember these as they each have a distinct memory attached to them. That's what we're doing, Lisa. Thank you. Stacy writes, Clue, my favorite movie in the third grade, and Footloose, had that movie memorized when I was eight. Those stick out the most. Also, my parents took me to E.T. when I was four, and the babysitter took us to see Return of Oz in the theater when I was seven. Both of those were profoundly scary movie experiences. Ugh, that wall of heads and the weird characters and the medical facility bits. Yikes. Yeah, I get it. I get it, GC. It's okay. Erica writes, my mother woke me up around 1 a.m. on a weeknight to watch Howard Hawks' The Thing with her. Ooh, pre-VCRs in every home. I was maybe 10 and not only loved the movie and do to this day, but the feeling of camaraderie. Exactly, Erica. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate that. Taylor writes, we saw The Longest Day at a drive-in. We saw Mary Poppins and The Music Man. We saw Fanny, which made no sense to a seven-year-old at Radio City Music Hall with the Rockettes performing afterwards. Oh, okay. Abby writes, Abby Terzini, my mom had me watch Tommy and the Wall. Now everyone knows why my music taste is the way it is. I dragged my dad to see Pink Floyd's The Wall in the theater in 82, and I don't think he was crazy about it. WFYI's own Roxanna Caldwell, my pops loved Blazing Saddles and A Christmas Story. Anything that would make us laugh. My mom shared her love of all the Disney movies, Pete's Dragon, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Darby O'Gill and the Little People. The family would watch The Wizard of Oz every year it was on TV. Yeah, we did too. Michelle writes Harold and Maude. I love that this might be your first dark comedy. It wasn't just me, but maybe others. Harold and Maude. Every time it would come back to the Dollar Theater, we would all go together, and for some reason all dressed alike. Scrubs, cowboy gear, etc. That's your family, Michelle. I also remember my mom taking me to see Billy Jack when I was about seven. She had already seen it and wanted me to get all the good social message parts, but covered my eyes during all the violence. Ooh. I didn't get to see Billy beat the crap out of Bernard and Company until it came out on VHS years later. I should add, I have six brothers, so all nine of us showing up at a show dressed as surgeons must have been an interesting sight. My family is very odd. That's fine, Michelle. And yeah, I own the Billy Jack box set. Laura writes, Wizard of Oz, My Fair Lady, Fiddler on the Roof, and E.T. Michael writes, my dad loved the old comedy teams, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello. We would sit together watching them, and both of us would just crack up time after time. Mason writes, my mom took me to see Blazing Saddles, and my dad took me to see the Blues Brothers, and they're both still in my top five. That's pretty good, Mason. That's very good. I remember seeing the Blues Brothers with my dad as well. I was 10. Guy writes, when I would watch a movie in the company of my dad and be confused about something / needing clarification, he would often say, we're watching the same movie, in an attempt to get me to develop critical thinking skills and such. And he meant it in a kind, positive way. Now that my dad is 81 and we still occasionally watch movies together, I say this quote back to him now. Thanks, Guy. That's cool. Jamie writes, my dad and I watched a lot of Abbott and Costello, especially the Bat, Jack and the Beanstalk, and when they meet Frankenstein. Cool. Joe Allen writes, the picture of Dorian Gray with my mom. Matt writes, as a kid, we would watch all the Dean Jones Disney movies like The Shaggy D.A. or The Ugly Dachshund, but also The Sting and Butch Cassidy. As a preteen, it was Jaws and Grizzly, and as a teenager, all the Conan films. Ooh. Marty writes, I was five. Dad took us to see Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's the 70s version with Donald Sutherland and the great ending. Around the same time, we saw Animal House. You're all right, Marty. It's okay. See, we're fine, folks. Melissa writes, first movie my dad ever sat me down and made me watch because he felt it was a movie deserving of sharing with the next generation was Duck Soup. Way to go, Melissa. Hail Fredonia. The next one was Batman, the Michael Keaton version. My dad was an absolute fan of the goofy comedy genre, Blazing Saddles, Animal House, all the vacation movies, the Blues Brothers, almost anything from an ex-SNL cast member up to a certain year. Yeah, everybody's a grumpy old person when it comes to SNL. The Jerk, he loved that movie. Oh, and his all-time favorite movie, the one we watched together as he drifted off for the last time, was My Cousin Vinny. Oh, wow. Thanks, Melissa. Andrew writes, Quest for Fire and the Big Chill. I saw Quest for Fire with my dad. I didn't get it. He liked it more than I did. The Big Chill, I always use as the example of that's a film that should be watched every 5 years. I think that's a great example of, you know, the film doesn't change, you change. Hey, Spielberg, Lucas, the film doesn't change, you change. But that's great. And because at 13, seeing The Big Chill, it was, you know, vulnerable grown-ups, which, you know, kids didn't get to see a whole lot of. Lovely acting, but, you know, they were very vulnerable. And same thing when I was 18 and still enjoyed it. And then when I was 23, I had a friend from college commit suicide. And so my point of view changed watching that film. And then getting older, getting married, having kids, that sort of thing. So, anyway, thank you, Andrew. Abby writes, Star Wars, Star Trek, the movies, Indiana Jones, and the 1966 Batman movie. On the flip side, they banned Back to the Future from our house after letting me stay in the room while I was on with my grandparents, thinking I wouldn't retain anything at 18 months to 2 years. Well, later... Later on, they were helping with a cleaning day at church. I walked up to my dad while he was on a ladder and asked him, what the bleep are you doing? He nearly fell off the ladder in shock. I still haven't seen it all the way through since. Ha ha. Abby, you should watch the first Back to the Future. You should treat yourself. You should break, you know, get through that. Get some closure with that. Michaela writes, The Goonies, The Babysitter's Club, also Grey Gardens. Watched this so much with my mom as a kid. Wow, that's cool. Like that. okay. I read some of these ahead of time. The post of the show, the post of the week, this made me laugh harder than anything else this week. And it comes from IFJA colleague and friend Lou Harry, who writes, when watching Ordinary People, my mother said to me, why are they giving her such a hard time? oh my gosh. So thank you, Lou. Thank you, Mother Harry. Jeez, man. Wow. I needed water for that. That just still cracks me up. And watch it. It's a fine film. Olivia writes, definitely A Knight's Tale, lots of Monty Python, and I can't forget the endless 80 classics like Adventures in Babysitting, The Goonies, and The Breakfast Club. She's young. David writes, saw The Godfather at the Twin Air Drive-In, also Fantastic Voyage. I'm kind of stunned that The Godfather's at a drive-in. Fantastic Voyage, I get. And was that on the same bill? Because that was also a thing as a kid. You could watch an older film as the second feature. They didn't always have to be brand spanking new. So, but I guess it's where you get the prints. Ben writes Blazing Saddles, Stripes, The Verdict, and American Werewolf in London. John writes Flashdance and Trading Places in the theater. My parents took me when I was 5. And when I was 7, followed the fleet on AMC. Okay. Ray writes, my siblings used to watch The Fighting Sullivans when we weren't getting along. Matt writes, all 3 Indiana Jones, although I think I had my eyes closed throughout most of Temple of Doom. A heart and chilled monkey brains will do that to you, Matt. That's okay. Rachel writes, we watched a lot of John Wayne, Abbott and Costello, Francis the Talking Mule, Doris Day, The Land Before Time, and the old live-action Disney movies when I was a kid. Okay, thank you, Rachel. Yeah, the live-action stuff in Disney in the 70s, like Superdad and your post-Kurt Russell stuff, and The Black Hole, that's a rough ride. Jeff writes, my dad had 4 sons. He made us watch Shane, Spartacus, The Dirty Dozen, The Birds, Flight of the Phoenix, Giant, The Great Escape, and Dr. Zhivago anytime they were on TV. He confessed to me that his favorite movie was The Three Amigos. Oh, that's great, Jeff. That's cool. Michael writes, war movies such as Kelly's Heroes, The Big Red One, westerns such as Outlaw Josie Wales for a few dollars more, and 70s trucker movies such as Smokey and the Bandit, Convoy, and Every Which Way But Loose. And yeah, Michael, I'm glad you reminded me of that. I watched Convoy. I got it on DVD. I finally watched it last week. Kino has a classic series with a really cool commentary track and a really good 75-minute documentary about the making of that film. I've snarkingly referred to it as Sam Peckinpah's Smokey and the Bandit. And hearing interviews with Kris Kristofferson and others, Peckinpah wanted to make Viva Zapata, but with trucks. And a little bit of Western stuff. Instead of horses, you have trucks. But, man, you know, there's been the running joke about the Snyder Cut coming out, and everybody's been wanting. I think I wrote, I'm still looking for the 5-hour Thin Red Line and the 220-minute first cut of Sam Peckinpah's Convoy. I'm not going to get it. All right. Cassie writes, The Wizard of Oz, followed by The Wiz. Good timing. Pocahontas and The Lion King. Gregory writes, Charade, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, any Clint Eastwood movie, any James Bond movie, The Great Escape, The Sound of Music, haha, The Music Man, and many others with my parents. They were always up for a good old movie. Thank you, Gregory. John writes, The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn. My father wasn't much for movies, but that's the one I remember watching with him. Thank you, Jack. Doug writes, my parents had a book, The Movies by Richard Griffith and Arthur Mayer, which my brother and I devoured as kids. It and other books inspired our fascination with silent and golden era films, and those pre-video days, my parents fueled our interest by renting films on reels and a projector from the library to show us Chaplin, Keaton, Lloyd, Laurel and Hardy, and really any others we requested. They certainly are a part of who I was and who I am. That's cool, Doug. That's really, really cool. I salute to you, sir. I like that. The books I have are cult movies and as well as the MedVed stuff, the Golden Turkey Awards and the other stuff that they wrote. Yeah, I own something written by a MedVed. It's the only thing. Blythe writes, my dad got me into film noir and greats such as The Lady Killers, the original, Young Frankenstein, Charlie Chan, and Alfred Hitchcock films. To this day, I favor rewatching these in honor of the memories. Thank you, Blythe. Christian writes, my dad took me to see The Spy Who Loved Me in the theater. I felt like I was way too young, 6, for some of that movie, but I am a Bond fan to this day. My parents also took me to see Star Wars. That shaped my life. And then we talk about Bond girls. I'm not going to do that. Monica writes, Labyrinth, of course. Helen writes, all things Cary Grant and Monkey Face. That's my nickname for her. That's the nickname that Cary Grant gives Joan Fontaine in Suspicion. Okay. Paul writes, I watched A Bridge Too Far with its cast of 1977 superstars. Despite that, I went in thinking it wouldn't be very good and was pleasantly surprised when it was okay. As for my favorite childhood film memory, it has to be when my dad took me to see Clash of the Titans, a film that was totally up my alley, but not his at all. He was more of an Eye of the Needle spy film guy. Later that year, we went to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, and both agreed it was awesome. I also saw Eye of the Needle with my dad, Kate Nelligan and Donald Sutherland. Good stuff there. Joe writes Empire Strikes Back, Beverly Hills Cop, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Rosalie writes, I don't recall my parents watching many films with us, showing my age perhaps, but as a teen, my mom once took us to see Swept Away, the original Italian version. I'm not sure she fully knew the content, however. That's okay. Khalif writes, the original Richard Roundtree Shaft. My dad wanted me to understand the relationship between our culture and the music at that time. Great one, Khalif. I took my daughter to see the reboot of Shaft that came out last year and made her watch certain scenes from the original Shaft. I have not gotten her to sit down and watch the full original version. I did make Lynn watch it when we were dating. So, yeah, way to go there. Claire writes, my dad only remembered the gopher storyline from Caddyshack and had us watch it way too young. So he had to fast forward to find all the gopher scenes. Also, all the Star Wars and Star Trek that we can get our hands on. Thank you, Claire. Rick writes Thunder Road with Robert Mitchum. Dan writes Fritz the Cat with Mom. Wow. And Blazing Saddles with Dad. Dan, nice household. Matthew writes Arsenic and Old Lace, Fantasia, and Herbie the Love Bug. Daniel writes, I remember watching movies with my parents on TV. I was a big movie buff. I remember coming down after my bedtime to find my father watching The African Queen, and he asked me to stay and watch it with him. Some others with my father, The Wolfman, with Lon Chaney Jr. and Claude Rains. He took me to the library on a night around Halloween. It was a windy night, and I still remember the empty streets with leaves blowing around under the street lamps, breaking their reflections on the pavement. He also took me to see Gone with the Wind, which he loved, The Way We Were, Young Frankenstein, and Network. My mother and I saw Funny Girl. She loved The Sound of Music, The Pajama Game, South Pacific, and Dr. Zhivago. I remember having nights with my mother in the recliner on my right and my father on the left, with me laying on the floor between them, watching Casablanca, Red Dust, Rear Window, Notorious, Mary Poppins, Dr. Doolittle. When I moved back to Indiana to help care for my parents 10 years ago, I got movies we enjoyed when I was young. My father had Alzheimer's and died exactly a year after I got back. He'd gone to the hospital for a while, and when he got back, he rallied a couple of weeks before his death. It lasted only a day or two, but one evening my father and I shared a pizza while watching Goldfinger when my mother was off to Bridge Club. He was talkative, charming, funny, and we talked a lot about the movie. I had this gregarious father I'd always known for that night. After my father passed away and dementia set in for my mother, I took her to see quite a few plays, concerts, and movies. If I was enjoying myself, she took her cue from me and did also. If she looked over to see me laugh, she would too. Thank you, Daniel. He also added at the end, this week for me, Tacones, Pain and Glory, Best Friends for Life, The Flower of My Secret, and Jules and Jim. Thank you, Daniel. Aaron writes, my dad, 82 in May, introduced me at a very young age to the Marx Brothers, and I've loved them ever since. Aaron, I'm with you on dad. Absolutely. Lawrence writes, Billy Jack, the CBS TV edit. Couldn't have been more than 6 or 7. Grace writes, I remember my dad sitting us down to watch the original Star Wars trilogy. My brother and I were in awe, and dad was delighting in sharing it with us. Smiles all around. Thank you, Grace. Ed writes, I saw The Jerk in the movie theater at the tender age of 5. Man, we got through it. David writes, definitely remember my dad introducing me to The Bridge on the River Kwai, Escape from Alcatraz, Cool Hand Luke, and later Straw Dogs. How were the conversations involving Susan George on that one? We know the scene. Anne writes, Flower Drum Song. Paul writes, The Exorcist. As a Catholic kid who studied with Brother Ignatius with the missing finger, I think my folks thought it would scare me into behaving better. They were oh so wrong. Thank you, Paul. JR writes, the early James Bond films. Judy writes, the Kurt Russell Disney films at the drive-in, also watching MGM musicals with my mom. Nancy writes, these are the first that come to mind. The Color Purple, Rear Window, Vertigo, Dr. Strangelove, The Sound of Music, and West Side Story. Rosanna writes, Mason of the Spring, The Red Shoes, The Virgin Spring, Sound of Music, Cool Hand Luke, The African Queen, Ishtar, Hopscotch, South Pacific, The Sting, and anything with Catherine Grayson and or Gene Kelly in it. Frank writes, Robin and the Seven Hoods. My dad loved the Rat Pack films. This one just made him laugh out loud all the time. Nicole writes, the original Star Wars was an event. We were there. We actually were one of the first people to get it on cable when cable was a new thing. I can't remember much inappropriate content they showed us intentionally, but they were definitely unaware of things we watched on our own. I remember Red Dawn being one of those. I'm sure I was too young for that. That's fine, Nicole. You're all right. Look how you turned out. Gretchen writes, the one movie I remember with my dad several times that mesmerized me was The Poseidon Adventure. It both terrified me and intrigued me. I was so glad to have my dad with me while watching it. We also watched The Rockford Files in 60 Minutes together. That's cool. Sandra writes, my parents had friends over to watch The Exorcist. I sat terrified in my bedroom. I could hear the whole movie through the door. Unfortunately, I had already seen it. Ah, okay. Bob Bloom, our very own Bob Bloom, IFJA member, in the theater, The Ten Commandments, at home, the shock theater package classic of Universal horror films, Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, etc. RJ writes, a favorite that my mom shared with me as a boy. She saw Jimmy Stewart in a live production, too, of Harvey. Oh, very good. And this, there's a picture, I believe it's the TV version of Harvey with Helen Hayes and Jimmy Stewart. Another one that my mom and I love, Some Like It Hot. Thank you, RJ. Tracy Forner, our very own, one of the guys I try to get on the show whenever possible. We went as a family to see One-on-One. Oh, the Robbie Benson, Annette O'Toole basketball movie, college basketball film. It seemed obvious to my mom what was about to happen in a particular scene, so she pulled me out of the theater and took me to Herbie the Love Bug, which was halfway through, so I'm still confused about both. Hang in there, Tracy. You're doing fine. You know that. Jessica writes, VHS recordings of TV edited movies that they wouldn't let me watch due to language or any hint of sex. When I started renting movies like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, I realized I was so sheltered. Others have noticed this as well. You're fine, Jessica. Rhiannon writes, The Sound of Music, The King and I, Chucky, still traumatized. You're also fine. Terry writes, great question, Matthew Sosi. Okay, right off the bat, my favorite parents' child movie watching adventure from my childhood had to be Big Bad Mama at the Indianapolis area drive-in theater, possibly the Skyline, where I ended up working being a jack-of-all-trades in my late teens. I had to beg to go because William Shatner and Angie Dickinson were in it. They agreed with the stipulation that I stayed down behind the front seats during certain scenes. Needless to say, I peeked through the middle or over. Can't remember if the seating was bucket or bench style. The seats, when the dirty stuff broke out. My parents took me to a lot of movies when I was a kid. So in addition to the above adventure, there were the re-releases of the classic Disney animated films Snow White, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, Bambi, and the new Disney animated classics, The Aristocats, Robin Hood, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, The Rescuers, etc., which made up my earliest cinema-going memories. Also, although I'm sure we did, it seems like we never missed out on any live-action Disney films that came out theatrically in the 70s. Now You See Him, Now You Don't, The Island at the Top of the World, probably my favorite at the time, Escape to Witch Mountain, The Apple Dumpling Gang, No Deposit, No Return, The Shaggy D.A., and of course, the Herbie the Lovebug movies. Yes, indeed, Kurt Russell, Don Knotts, and Dean Jones were omnipresent in American G-rated family film and TV fare in the 1970s. That is true. Finally, and perhaps most significantly, there were these seminal and formative movie-going experiences with my parents. Between the ages of 8 and 10, Jaws, no, I never suffered any post-screening shark nightmares. Oh, you're lucky. King Kong, 1976, but yes, I did end up having a post-screening dreams about Jessica Lange. Who didn't? Star Wars, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Smokey and the Bandit, which induced the hardest, most sustained, unbridled laughter I ever heard from my dad. All great memories. Happy 80th birthday to your father, Matthew. Wow. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. Jared, oh my gosh. Jared and I grew up in the same neighborhood. Tell your dad I said happy birthday. I didn't watch a lot of stuff with my folks, mostly John Wayne-type movies. I do remember being at your house and watching every Monty Python and would want to give a nod to a TV show we used to watch and laugh together, The Young Ones. Yep. God, thanks, Jared. Yeah, there was that, besides Monty Python being on PBS, but MTV in the early 80s, mid-80s, really, they had on Sunday nights Monty Python and Flying Circus, The Young Ones, and then the comic strip. And a bunch of us, especially the theater gang, just latched onto that. So good to hear from you, Jared. Andra Faye writes, Old Yeller and True Grit. Jeff writes, The Happiest Millionaire, always a family favorite, underrated Disney musical. Keith writes, The Wake of the Red Witch, Double Indemnity, and The Wizard of Oz. Patty writes, Hammer horror films from the 30s to the 60s, Basil Rathbone, Sherlock Holmes, Errol Flynn movies, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, but above all, The Great Mouse Detective. Still one of my top five favorite films of all time. Thank you, Patty. Samuel writes, Conan the Destroyer. No plant was safe when I had my homemade wooden Conan sword. Man, Grace Jones, Mako, Wilt Chamberlain, Owen Arnold. Yeah, quite the cast. Scott writes, Auntie Mame, the Rosalind Russell one, not the Lucille Ball one. I hear you, Scott. Denise writes, I realize this is too late, and my story isn't about watching movies with my dad, but with my kid. When Nathan was 7, his favorite movie was Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Wow. Definitely says a lot about him. Thank you, Denise. Julie writes, Raintree County. Melissa writes, my dad and I wouldn't miss an Elvis Presley movie. Well, you're lucky, Melissa, because my dad would miss an Elvis Presley movie whenever possible. My mother was a big Elvis freak, and so I got to see all of his films because of my mom. So thanks there, Ma. Elaine writes, Bringing Up Baby, A Gentleman's Agreement, and Anything Hitchcock. Aggie writes, I've been on a disaster movies from 70s jag lately. Very fun. Oh, well, you didn't read the post. That happens sometimes. We had a few people who just thought it was the usual Thursday post, and or in this case, Wednesday post, and just gave me what they watched. Okay. Michael writes, all of these at the local theaters, not on TV. The Wizard of Oz, Shane, Bad Day at Black Rock, Fantasia, The Outlaw, Old Yeller, Sleeping Beauty, Song of the South, still waiting on that one, Disney Plus, The Al Jolson Story, Gone with the Wind, The Jazz Singer, with Jolson, not Diamond, Key Largo, The Greatest Show on Earth, The Grapes of Wrath, The Oxbow Incident, Around the World in 80 Days, The Old Man and the Sea, The Ten Commandments, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, The Caine Mutiny, Treasure Island, Singing in the Rain, Birdman of Alcatraz, Inherit the Wind, To Kill a Mockingbird, Gentleman's Agreement, and a few more. Wow. Thank you, Michael. Great list. Britt writes the Police Academy series. I rest my case. Okay. Mario writes The Wizard of Oz or the Ten Commandments. Susan writes, my parents didn't watch movies, but mom took me to the theater to see Love Story and Gone with the Wind. And I replied, of course, love means never having to know nothing about birth and no babies. All right, I'll stop that. Moveen writes, West Side Story and Sleeping Beauty. Megan writes, I was banned from watching Carrie, and I think that's why I'm not a fan of horror/suspense films. Not exactly what you were asking, but I'm usually backwards. It's okay, Megan. The Jazz Singer. My mom was a huge Neil Diamond fan, still share a love of him with her to this day. We just won't talk about the blackface. in The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. Tracy writes Night Shift. Oh, wow. Alan writes The Wizard of Oz. I was terrified by the flying monkeys and had to be taken to the lobby until Dorothy got out of the forest. It happens, Alan. It's okay. James writes The Wizard of Oz and Journey to the Center of the Earth from 1960. And finally, gosh, I'm coming all kinds of past coming up here. My friend Jameson writes, I was just talking about this. Movie my dad's picked for us to watch as a family. When I was 12-ish, Mad Max or The Road Warrior. I don't know which. 14 or 15, Platoon. Other picks over my teenage years, Mr. Majestic and Easy Rider. Wow. Thank you, Jameson. Well, there you go. Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing your memories of what you watched as a kid. And look, we all turned out fine, I think. Nothing wrong with that. So, it's, you know, the whole parental guidance thing, usually, maybe. So, yeah, that was very, very cool. All right, before we wrap things up, I do need to raise a glass for actor George Segal, who passed away earlier this week. It's interesting. This is a guy, if you go through his IMDb page, which I'm about to, was up for anything, was up for doing absolutely anything, no matter what, no matter how big, how small, no matter what genre, for the most part. And I know it's funny because in later years, obviously became known for his work on The Goldbergs, which is still happening, as well as Just Shoot Me. But going all the way back, when he gained notice in 1961 as playing Dr. Howard in The Young Doctors, was one of the 5,000 actors in The Longest Day. Act One, Invitation to a Gunfighter, Ship of Fools, King Rat. I have his Death of a Salesman. He was in a TV movie version of Death of a Salesman playing Biff opposite Lee J. Cobb. And it's one of my favorites. Gene Wilder is also in that as Bernard. Lost Command, only received one Academy Award nomination in his career, and that was for playing Nick in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf from 1966. And salute to you, sir. The Quiller Memorandum, The St. Valentine's Day Massacre, played George. There was TV movie versions of Desperate Hours and of Mice and Men. Bye Bye Braverman, where I have that, working with Sidney Lumet. The Southern Star, Loving, Where's Papa, which I also need to revisit, The Owl and the Pussycat, Born to Win, The Hot Rock, Bloom in Love, A Touch of Class, The Terminal Man, California Split, which I was hoping to watch maybe next week, Russian Roulette, The Blackbird, The Duchess and the Dirtwater Fox, Fun with Dick and Jane, Roller Coaster, Who's Killing the Great Chefs of Europe, Lost and Found, The Last Married Couple in America, Carbon Copy, played Barry and Stick. I unabashedly love Stick, and even though I love the novel too. Run for Your Life, All's Fair, For the Boys, he was in the Look Who's Talking films, that's true. Deep Down, To Die For, I remember his uncredited cameo in there. It's My Party, Flirting with Disaster, The Mirror Has Two Faces. Heights, I forgot about that. And then was doing a lot of TV throughout the second half of his career. 2012, Love and Other Drugs, Elsa and Fred, and of course Pop Solomon in The Goldbergs, as well as Jack Gallo in Just Shoot Me, which I also enjoyed a great deal. So salute to you, George Segal. Thank you for everything. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. We'll get back to a regular grab a pencil portion on next week's program, so keep your list coming. Thank you, everybody, for opening up as much as you did on social media. It can be used for good. And thanks for letting me talk a little bit about my dad, Dr. John Soce, who turns 80 this weekend. I love you, Pop. Thank you for everything. So until next time, friends, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. We're going to end this, end the show with a little bit of, let's never forget that George Segal also knew his way around a trombone and a banjo. He actually cut an album in 1974, I believe, called A Touch of Ragtime. Here's Teresa Brewer and George Segal doing Alexander's Ragtime Band. And, We'll talk next week. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!